Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, come on, it's a great song. Welcome in. It is Joe Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Happy Wednesday, happy hump day. We'll be talking with Buffalo Common Council member Mitch Nowakowski in just a few seconds as we get things started here on News Radio 930 WBEN. One of the things we're going to talk to him about in just a few seconds is the news that we got, we received that the city of Buffalo receives a second bond rating downgrade. S&P Global revives city of Buffalo's outlook to negative, affirms A+ general obligation bond rating. We'll get into that. And also Heritage Point and the progress expected at Heritage Point obviously has been an ongoing topic. And to talk about it is Buffalo Common Council member Mitch Nowakowski. Mitch, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Can't complain. Want to get started. You know, there's a few things going on, and we want to get talking about Heritage Point. But, Mitch, we just got this into the newsroom talking about the bond rating downgrade by S&P Global in the Common Council. How are you guys looking at this?
So I'm glad that you are we're covering this. So the rating actually didn't change. We stay an A+ in rating. It's just they changed the outlook to negative from stable. But to be honest, most council members, what they point to where it shows negative from stable, it should have been negative for a few fiscal cycles. They cite one-time revenues as not a way to plug budget gaps, and that's no revelation to myself or anybody else. But in perpetuity, that the rating didn't change, just the outlook. So I don't want the city comptroller to use that as a venue to show some face that what we're doing when it comes to the bond sales in the litigation that's before the court.
Yeah, and let's start with that before we get to Heritage Point. Mitch, you and Mayor Scanlon are bringing litigation to force the city comptroller to borrow. So for people like me who don't understand that, what exactly is the push here and what are you trying to accomplish?
Yes. So I am the finance chair of the Buffalo Common Council, and I am a plaintiff in this suit with acting mayor Chris Scanlon, because what the comptroller is doing is outside of the charter responsibilities. So she's interfering with the authority of the Buffalo Common Council, and I can't stand for that. And so the council last December passed a $110 million capital budget, which we are charter mandated to pass one by December. So here's $55 million of that is for the Buffalo Public Schools. So if you live in the suburbs, you have to go vote on your budget and vote on your capital purchases, either your school board or you do, at the ballot box. Here in the city of Buffalo, we don't do that. The city collects roughly over $140 million in taxes from residents. We split that in half, and we give the half to the Buffalo Public Schools. So the only entity right now that can bond for the Buffalo Public Schools is the city of Buffalo. And so that $55 million that we bonded for is reimbursable. 93% of it is reimbursable by the state of New York, and the remaining percent they have the cash on hand to pay for. So that doesn't come at any expense or negative impacts to the city of Buffalo. And then the other section are bans. And the bans that are being taken out or we wish to take out are state and federal reimbursable for infrastructure like Main Street, Jefferson, and those infrastructure projects that need to get going. So in reality, this comes to no negative impacts to taxpayers. The controller is not going to the market, and that is not her chartered mandated authority to do that. There's one word that says in the section of the city charter, and that's superintend. Superintend is a verb, and it means to manage and oversee. By no means is that a vehicle to stop $110 million going to the bond market and then usurping the authority of the executive branch and the Common Council, which passed and made a determination on the capital budget. And so when you're looking at a capital budget and you're thinking, well, what's in it? Not only is it lights, sidewalks, infrastructure, it's fire apparatuses, it's police equipment, it's for our parks, our community centers, needs and infrastructure needs that people want to see in their community every single day. And now, unfortunately, we missed a whole construction season. When these projects get rebidded out, they're going to be more expensive. The cost of litigation to do this is ridiculous. And ultimately, it's going to be at the backs of the Buffalo residents and taxpayers.
Do you know when a decision will come down on this, how long this litigation will take?
I believe this will be heard in 2 weeks, and then hopefully we are granted relief and a decision quickly, because now we're going into another capital budget season in December. So we could potentially have two capital budgets that the controller will be compelled to go to the market for, which is going to bond out more in one cycle, and then we're going to see a balloon payment in future out years. So this is this is ridiculous and more than unfortunate that we have to do this, to work together in City Hall and to know, you know, who's chartered mandated authorities and where they exist. When majority of City Hall, we already know, but the comptroller will not yield on her stance.
Who selects the city comptroller? Is that a position that the mayor can remove? How does that work in the city?
It is up when the council member's up, but it's a citywide elected position, and it's an important position to have. But it's an important position that you need to know what your authority is, and that's to advise, that's to conduct audits, and that's to provide advice. But by no means is that a role where you can stop a legislative body from disposing of a budget. The Common Council is the appropriating and disposing body of funds here in the city of Buffalo. We're legislators. There's nine of us that come together to state and put in our district's priorities in those capital projects every single year. And, you know, we don't have a system where the controller can then dictate what the priorities are in the capital budget when it comes to council members. It's a complete overstep.
All right, Mitch, now on to Heritage Point, something you and I have been talking about for a while now. There is optimism that it will resume within a few weeks. What are you hearing? What do you know? And how do you feel this time around?
So before the council went on recess in August, we did have a representative from Sinatra's who did brief the council that said that they were close to closing on funding and closing out that funding, that they would then immediately and imminently get back to an open construction site and complete the project in 16 months. So at the fourth quarter of 2026, we would see that project built. I have got reassurances from the state and then Sinatra and company that within the coming weeks, that will be an active site, which is important not only in the large scale of things of development, because we need that mixed use development and commercial and residential living on our waterfront and canal side. But ultimately, I need to know, you know, when it becomes an active site, because I have Explorer More, I have Marine Drive, I have the Naval Park, I have a lot of things going on down there. So a construction site will reroute traffic and have some growing pains. But if we're going to be a competitive and world-class city, we have to have a strong waterfront and vibrant downtown. And Heritage Point will be a large project that we need to get done. It's been vexing. It's been like, you know, 7-8 years that not only have people been talking about it, but trying to get this up and going. And ultimately, we're in a position where we need to get it done. So I am staying optimistic with what I've been told and what I've been shown. You know, seeing is believing. So when I see equipment down there, I'll start believing it.
In the in the Cleveland Buffalo News yesterday, the county executive was quoted a few times talking about how, you know, he'll believe it when he sees it. Kind of throwing a lot of blame at Sinatra. Do you think comments like that are productive?
I mean, the fact is that we have to get it done because, you know, what would the alternative be? We can't give a new developer a half built site. So I'm just, you know, the county executive is free to give his thoughts. I think it was more to the general malaise of development in the city of Buffalo and that the impact. And he does point to some larger pointing issues with development. But as a district councilman, my purview is just to get this done for my district, because ultimately, you know, the residents and the visitors of my district will be, you know, severely impacted.
Mitch, you know me, when we talk about downtown, that's my focus. I want to see downtown, you know, I felt like downtown was on a very positive upward trajectory right up until the pandemic, and it has really been struggling. And this is something I have brought up to you, I think, every time we talk. Main Place Mall is sitting there empty. You know, when you talk about developers, you talk about the lack of developing. What's it going to take to get that part of Main Street to maybe see some life again? I mean, it seems like every time we hear something from downtown, it's negative. It's another business leaving that, you know, I mean, I guess I'm just far removed from going out that I thought was pretty popular and pretty busy. What's it going to take to get, you know, Main Street Buffalo to start moving again?
So my thought is that since COVID, we lost about over 30,000 office workers that were coming in and commuting to the city, that were buying lunch, buying coffee, staying, shopping, consuming, working, and providing critical density. That is gone. And I'm not one of those people that want to blame everything on the pandemic. But one thing that we know that the pandemic did was it changed our social norms and how we consume. So when we, you know, people aren't going out as much, there's not a critical mass of density coming down here. And so there's two pieces that I think that really need to happen in downtown Buffalo for it to really start moving again and see as more of a significant footprint in impactful ways. Is I believe a supply in residents will lead to a demand in amenities. If you're going to bring businesses down here who are taking out commercial loans, who are putting up their own money to provide, you know, restaurants and concert venues and amenities, they need to protect their investment by having, you know, a solid supply of critical mass of people who will consume. But then we also need that transactional density of people coming down here for festivals, events, concerts, venues, for people to come in and enjoy our urban area and our city. And Joe, I really want to hammer the point home, because I was a part of when I first joined the council, there were members and people that try to say, well, it's downtown versus everybody. If downtown gets anything, that means you suffer in neighborhoods. And that's false. And I have to reject that. You know, when we are a strong urban core, think about it, 33% of the tax parcels that are in downtown Buffalo pay for the entire revenue to generate services for the entire city. Think about what the taxes are on the Liberty Building and these large scale buildings. They're paying and shouldering a lot of the commercial and tax down here. And when you also think about sales tax revenue, the highest times we were seeing sales tax were at the pandemic in March, when a lot of people were saying, hey, we need to support local businesses. So if we have strong urban economics where we're deriving people to come to our urban core and to enjoy our city, that then turns into revenue to the city so that we can start investing more in our infrastructure and plowing streets and districts all throughout the city of Buffalo. So we really need that as a key piece to move the city forward.
Do you think bringing back events like Thursday in the Square would be possible?
I think so. I was talking with you know, folks yesterday who want to be creative. There's a whole group of folks that are part of Downtown 2030, and there's a lot of people that are trying to put their shoulder into how to bring back large-scale events. I mean, Beamer, I walked in a fashion show on Saturday in Fountain Plaza. If I got to do that to help support festivals, and honestly, most people weren't even thinking about that festival, but when I was there, it brought easily over 1,000 people that I think that would have never came to Downtown Buffalo, and it was a really successful event. So people who want to event organize and bring culture and artistic ability and cuisine and their culture to our urban core to have great concerts and venues, that's what's going to spur a lot of development and creativity and positivity down here in the urban core.
Well, you know, that, as we've talked about, that is one thing I believe we can get back there. I think a vibrant downtown means success for the rest of Buffalo and for the rest of Western New York. It's the hub that can kick off the renaissance throughout Erie County. Mitch, one other thing we want to talk about is this is according to Spectrum, the high euthanasia rates at the City of Buffalo Animal Shelter. The animal shelter back in the news again. What can you say about it?
So, you know, I was brought those that data that was foiled by Spectrum News that a reporter had brought to me. And folks that know me have known that I'm the council member that's trying to get, from at least my side, a new animal shelter for the City of Buffalo, because not only is it the correct things to do, we have to take care of all of God's creatures. It's within our charter that we have to provide an animal shelter for a service to the City of Buffalo. I did see those numbers that showed, I think it was about 62% of pit bulls that are brought to the shelter are being euthanized. And then when they showed me the data where 5 to 8 animals were euthanized almost within a couple minutes of each other, it just goes to everybody's worst fear of, are you euthanizing animals because there's an overcrowding? I'm not throwing out any accusation. I'm just saying I was brought that data to me, and that was disturbing. But that means that's just more work we need to do to provide a good shelter to protect all of God's creatures and our animals.
Mitch, my final question for you, and I ask you this because I feel like I can. I feel our friendship is good enough that I can ask you this. I wouldn't ask most Democrats this question, but State Senator Sean Ryan, he is the Democrat nominee. He has not posted on social media in over a month. He has not talked to 247. I'm not sure. Maybe he's talked to the Buffalo News. He obviously hasn't talked to us. Do you think he's campaigning the right way as the Democrat nominee going into November, or would you like to hear more of him talking to constituents and, you know, doing more than giving press releases to the media?
That's a good question, and I can confirm he is doing well. I had breakfast with him this morning to go over a lot of priorities in the City of Buffalo, and every campaign has their own techniques. You know, God forbid someone would criticize mine. I know that, you know, the legislative session has wrapped up. I know he's doing a lot of work with connecting with people. But every campaign has their strategy. I'm sure there's usually a time in the political and calendar where campaigns rev up. So I know that also engagement and the way people campaign is different nowadays with text messages and but I do know he's working hard and getting out there and talking to folks.
Well, Mitch, I know that you always put a good word in for me, so I appreciate you.
I do.
No, I know. You're one of very few, and I always appreciate you doing that, and always appreciate you on the show, Councilmember Mitch Nowakowski. We will talk again very soon, my friend. Thank you so much.
Have a good one, Joe.
You too. That is Common Councilmember Mitch Nowakowski, and as I will always say, and the same goes for Mayor Scanlon, who came on the show Monday. You know, Mitch and I, believe me, we have talked off air about our disagreements. We have disagreements, but you know, I have respect for Mitch. I think he has respect for me. And he is someone, not just me, he regularly will come on the station. He's been on with David. He's been on the morning show. He talks to the newsroom. He doesn't, you know, oh, their opinions are against mine, so I can't, you know, I have to avoid them. No. He regularly comes on the station, and it's people like Nowakowski, Scanlon, and other Democrats that, you know, hey, we have to you know, you don't judge someone just based on their politics, right? And I greatly, greatly appreciate that. And by the way, speaking of that, Congressman Tim Kennedy on Hardline Sunday, and we have a lot of questions for him as well. So thank you, Mitch Nowakowski. We'll talk about all that and more when we come back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
We're soaring, flying. There's not a star in heaven that we can't reach.
If we're trying, so we're breaking free.
Yep, that goes out to Shays as they have approved there. You know, that's a question for Nowakowski. I didn't ask him. The Shays approval by the Buffalo Planning Board. How does that? There's literally people complaining about that. What would happen with this expansion? Okay, and hoping to talk to Shays president Brian Higgins on Hardline Sunday. But there's the apartment building. Right, the apartment, they're saying they don't want to see this expansion because of what it might mean for interest of the building and all this stuff. Yet the Buffalo Planning Board approves the $30 million project. The same Buffalo Planning Board that wouldn't give the Bisons the same approval because, oh, the fence is a little over code. Like, to me, was anyone complaining? Last I checked, there's no one across the street from the ballpark on that side of the stadium. The bar that used to be there is now across the street. The Bisons, the one consistent summertime event in downtown Buffalo, and the Buffalo Planning Board says, "Uh-uh, you can't do that." Yet Shays, where you actually have a complaint filed, they get to go ahead and do the expansion. Like, to me, that's just, it's not consistent. And like I said, I don't understand how you say no to the Bisons for all the good they do for Western New York. And the, again, the one consistent thing going on downtown during the summer, the one consistent thing bringing people downtown, the Bisons. And their theme nights and everything. They put on, the Bisons are an amazing product. They're an amazing product, okay? And the fact that the city of Buffalo said you can't have your party deck out here because the fence is 2 feet too high. Was anyone complaining about that? No. Yet Shays, there is a complaint, but because we know the people, right? It's a little, everyone's friends, hey, we'll just ignore the complaints and drive right on. Make it make sense. And like I said, I wanted to ask Nowakowski that, but we ran out of time. We ran out of time. We had a lot of topics going in, but I know we'll talk to Mitch again soon, and that question will come up. You know, I talk about this a lot, and for those of you who are upset with me repeating things, I apologize. But I always talk about how so many politicians, and by the way, Mitch Nowakowski is not one of them, but there are a lot of politicians, especially in Albany, who just seem disconnected from the average person. Well, Governor Kathy Hochul is no exception to the rule. And to prove it, this was Kathy Hochul last week. If I could get the sound to turn on, that's on my end, Tanner. I apologize. Here we go.
That we are going to make sure when we're in all across the state, that we are going to make sure when we're in school, we are learning. We are no longer distracted. And I've got a friend here, one of my best friends, who I want you to get to know, Frankie Focus. He's introduced here today for the very first time.
What?
He doesn't say a lot. He's kind of quiet. That's all right. That's all right.
So if you didn't see this, the governor of New York is walking around the state with a mascot. Now, Tanner, I'm colorblind. Tell me what, is that green, that mascot?
Yes.
Okay. With a green mascot with glasses on called Frankie Focus, okay? Who thought that was a good idea? That person should be fired from the administration ASAP. You're not connecting to elementary school students. You're connecting to high schoolers, middle schoolers. And we've got the governor out there. Now, this is before what she said Sunday. No one's talking about that either, except for David, thankfully. David and the lieutenant governor, they're talking about it. At least Stefanik's talking about it. Just to piggyback off of that for 1 second. Do you realize if Kathy Hochul was a Republican and had an R next to her name, that that clip would be all over CNN? They'd be talking about it on the Abby Phillips show. It would be, they would have panels talking about how could she say that? But because she's a Democrat, it's covered differently. And you can't tell me, even if you're the most liberal of liberal people, you can't tell me you don't see that. If Kathy Hochul said what she said Sunday as a Republican, it would be all over the news. But because she's a Democrat and we've got it, you know, the media's got to protect their own, nothing is being said. Anyway, back to Frankie Focus. So she's walking around. This is to promote the cell phone ban. Again, I don't think we need any money to promote the cell phone ban. We need adults to be adults. Hey, the phone doesn't come into this classroom. If the phone is seen in this classroom, you don't have it for the rest of the day and you get detention. That's how we did it back in my day. The teachers had control. I'm not saying the teachers don't. I'm just saying, and I guarantee a lot of teachers out there agree with me. You want to ban the phones? If I see that phone in the classroom, it gets taken away for the day and you get detention. That's how we did it in 07, and that's how we should be doing it in 25. We shouldn't have the state shelling out tons of money to tour Frankie Focus and Kathy Hochul to middle schools and high schools. Hey, kids, the adult says the phone goes away. And if you don't want to listen to the adult, fine, you get detention. And if it's the same system as when I was in school, if you get so many detentions, then you get suspended. Then you have to set out a game if you play a sport. That's how you enforce a ban in a school. No, instead, we've got Hochul out there running around with Frankie Focus. And by the way, you would think that's the end of the story. No, because now the governor's office is refusing to disclose the cost of using Frankie Focus. The mascot is more appropriate to connect with 4- and 5-year-olds than to ban the teenagers who are phone obsessed, according to educators. A Queens high school teacher says this is completely tone deaf. And no one told the governor? I mean, seriously, who's in your administration that thought this was a good idea? Do you remember middle school or high school? I would say most people do. Do you think that that mascot's a good idea? Could you imagine sitting, you're in ninth grade, right? You're back in school. It's a beautiful day outside. Maybe you're in an older building that has no air conditioning. The window's open. You're hearing the noise of outside, which just a week ago, you were out there enjoying. You're out there with your friends, riding your bike, playing in the pool, or just staring at a screen. I don't know what kids do these days. And now you're back in the building, and your teacher goes, "Hey, class, do we have a surprise for you?" And you're thinking, "Oh my gosh, are we going to watch Matilda? I mean, what is the surprise?" And it's Kathy Hochul and a green mascot telling you, "Hey, we're here to learn." You really think? What did you? Seriously, what do you think the kids are going to? Hey guys, you know, I was pretty ticked off about this phone ban, but then Kathy Hochul and Frankie Focus came into class, and I'm telling you, I'm not annoyed by the phone ban anymore. I mean, what did you think was going to happen? It's a complete waste of not just, I don't care the money they spent on the mascot, that's stupid, but the governor has nothing better to do. The governor of New York, she's there talking about illegal immigration and crime and how New York's working on the crime problem. She has enough time to go tour schools with a mascot that looks like it belongs on Sesame Street. Goes on to say, this is from the New York Post, by the way, "The use of the mascot doesn't appeal to parents and certainly not high school students. It doesn't appeal to me," said high school parent Yatlin Chu. "I'm not sure the mascot helps her cause." She said the ban, which she supports, is a serious issue. There's a lot of debate in high schools about students not having access to their laptops or phones that could be helpful during free study periods. Hochul showcased Frankie Focus at a Brooklyn middle school last week. Sources who backed the ban said former New York State Senator and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and her camp were in discussions with Hochul on implementing the cell phone ban. But Hochul defended Frankie Focus, who has his own social media accounts. So we're paying someone not only to run around in the mascot uniform, but they're just not serious people, guys. This is not serious. And again, how disconnected from reality do you have to be to think something like this is going to connect with middle school and high school children? You'd be lucky if Frankie Focus connected with my child. He's two. I mean, this, it just screams, not only tone deaf, I mean, Kathy Hochul is definitely tone deaf. It just screams someone who is so disconnected from the people that she is supposed to represent and is so removed from the average life that you would think something like this is worth the time, the money, the energy. It's so stupid. And I will go back to say, it's very simple. We need to get back to where adults are authority figures. You don't go to school to run the school. You go to school to learn. Okay? And if there is a rule in place, that rule is to be enforced by the teachers, the authority figures. And if you don't listen to them, you go to the principal's office. Believe me, I've been there enough times. You go to the principal's office. And you're dealt with. You get detention. You get suspension. But you are made an example of. We're so scared to talk to kids. We need to dress up as a freaking mascot. I mean, what's happened? Am I the idiot? 803-0930, star 930. Am I getting it wrong? Shouldn't the teacher be the authority figure? You know, when I would go to school, if I had a hat on, the teacher took the hat, put it in their desk. You get it back tomorrow. If I had gum, spit it in the garbage can. If I catch you with gum again this month, you get three days detention. Hell, I got detention for commentating a fight in the cafeteria in eighth grade. I wasn't even in the fight. I commentated it as if I were Rick Jenneret, and I got a week of lunch detention. I had to sit in the assistant principal's office and eat my lunch for 5 days. And guess what? Okay, I guess maybe sometimes I should just be quiet. It didn't really resonate because, of course, I continued to talk. But that's the case. Let's stop throwing money at a cell phone ban and let's let the adults, the teachers, the authority figures enforce the rule. And if you don't want to respect the authority figure, if you don't want to respect the teacher, then you get sent to the office. And guess what? Enough times, you're out of here. But we have so many kids who think they can just walk into school and they can run the place. Because, well, mommy and daddy give me everything I want at home. There's no authority in the house. I can stay up till midnight. I can take the family car. I can use mom and dad's credit card to order DoorDash every day. There's no authority at home. So you go to school and you just ignore your teachers. But we have to go back to the teacher is the authority figure. And that's how you implement and that's how you enforce rules. It really is. It should be, let me say, it should be that simple. I'm not saying that, you know, you should walk around your life in fear of the teachers, but you should fear if you do something wrong, there will be a punishment. I think too many adults care about, oh, well, I just want everyone to be my friend. I have a lot of friends. Yes, it's good to have friends. But if you're a teacher in a class full of kids, maybe you should worry more about teaching and keeping the rule of law front and center before you worry about being, I'm friends with all my students. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. But those students have to also realize that you're the authority figure and that they can't, Mr. Saunders is, he's my friend. I can bring my phone out. He's not going to give me detention. No. Hey, here's the assignment. Get the hell out of class. That's how it goes. And give me the phone. 803-0930, star 930. Your thoughts on that? Am I just at 37 too old school? Shouldn't it be that simple? And your thoughts on Frankie Focus. This is a joke. And again, I think it just shows the complete disconnect from our elected officials over there in Albany. 803-0930, star 930. When we come back, the city credit rating is now a negative outlook. The party in power says they can fix it. And Kamala Harris starting to open up about Joe Biden. And I also want to get to the Fire Aid. Do you remember Fire Aid with all the big celebrities? Guess who didn't see a dime of the money raised? Well, that's a tease. I'll tell you when we come back on WBEN. Welcome back. Hope you're having a great hump day here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Lots of messages on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board talking about the Frankie Focus. I'm glad that I brought this up just because I want everyone to know that Kathy Hochul literally walked school to school with a mascot named Frankie Focus. I think it's interesting. Again, I think it just shows the disconnect between some of our elected officials in Albany and reality. I mean, I would assume most people listening to my voice right now wouldn't think that a mascot that looks like it belongs on Sesame Street is going to relate to 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th graders. Like, that's not going to, no one's walking out of that assembly going, well, you know, the governor and Frankie Focus told me that I didn't need my phone. Anyway, before we first came on the air, we got this breaking story, and you heard Mitch Nowakowski comment on it in the first segment, and Tom Puckett played it for you at the top of the hour. The S&P Global Ratings has affirmed the City of Buffalo A-plus general obligation bond rating while revising the city's outlook from stable to negative due to concerns over weakened financial performance and fiscal pressures. And you heard Mitch Nowakowski say that he and other people in the council felt that should have been the case, you know, a few quarters ago, because it's citing things that they had already seen. My thing here, and I should have asked this question to Councilmember Nowakowski, you look at this, and this is just like with pulling cars at the county level. You see the city's fiscal situation, and the party in power, they are now telling you, hey, we're the people to fix it. But wait a minute, you're the people that got us here. You're the same party for 60 years. And nothing's changed. Buffalo continues to struggle. And now you're telling me, oh, but Sean Ryan, he's going to be the guy to turn around. Oh, you mean Sean Ryan, who's not talking to anybody? I mean, he's talking to Nowakowski, but he's not talking to constituents. I mean, he hasn't posted on social media. He hasn't gone on 247. He hasn't come on this station, which, okay. This is the guy. He's going to turn it around, though. He's not going to tell you how he's going to turn it around. Again, this is why I like Mitch so much. Mitch will answer tough questions. And he'll come on, and he'll, you know, I guarantee if I asked him this question, he would have explained, in his view, what he thinks Sean Ryan's going to do. But it's not Mitch Nowakowski's job to answer that; it's Sean Ryan's job to answer that. And he continues to run away from the media. The last thing he posted on his campaign site was about crosswalks, guys. That was during the fair. I mean, is he taking this seriously? Or does he just think that he is going to be anointed so he doesn't need to campaign, he doesn't need to entertain the other candidates, and he's just going to walk in the city hall? To me, that shows a disrespect for the constituents. You don't care enough to connect and talk with constituents, talk with people who might disagree with you. Again, it's the same problem I have with County Executive Mark Poloncarz. He won't talk to people who disagree with him. He makes personal judgment based on politics. If you don't agree with his politics, then he hates you. That's how he has governed since day one in the Rath building. And I'm hoping that Sean Ryan wakes up and is not that same person. Because then we will have the city and the county run by two people who think so little of anyone who disagrees with them that they completely ignore you. But I Sean Ryan didn't want to come out and talk about crime because, again, his name is associated with bail reform, with raise the age, and all the stuff that's hurting cities like Buffalo and New York State. He didn't want to talk about that. Can you come out and talk about this? Can we get Sean Ryan on the show to talk about the credit rating? Do you want to tell people what your plan is? Is your plan still to borrow as much frickin' money to get rid of the debt and then just put Buffalo in more debt the next quarter? What's your plan, Senator Ryan? You've been part of the state Senate for two of the latest budgets in New York history. So yeah, maybe you need to get out there and talk about these issues. I don't care if you think you're going to win 60, 70, 80% of the voters. You owe them an explanation of what your plan is to turn things around. You win the primary and then you just go radio silent. Again, I don't care how big you think you're going to win. You should be out there and you should be, you know, talking to the constituents, even the ones who might not vote for you. And if you feel that you were right about bail reform, then you should talk about bail reform. You should talk about why you were right for raise the age, if that's how you feel. But completely ignoring the media, is this how your administration is going to be, Senator Sean Ryan? If you win in November, is this how you're going to cover the city from behind the curtain? Are you going to be the Joe Biden of Buffalo? Maybe address the media once a year? I mean, what's your plan? Because I think this is embarrassing. I think it's embarrassing for the Democrat Party. I think it's embarrassing to Jeremy Zellner, who did everything he could to make sure Chris Scanlon wasn't going to be the next mayor of Buffalo. I mean, just complete disregard for anyone in the city of Buffalo. That's what Sean Ryan has. Because he doesn't feel like he needs to talk to you. He feels like he can just sit in the basement. Again, he's not even posting from his Senate page on social media. The guy hasn't posted in almost a month. And he's running for mayor. Is that not a slap in the face of the voters? You have this credit rating come out. Now, are you actually going to talk about it? Are you going to go on Michael Wooten's show and talk about it? Are you going to go on the 4 o'clock news program, on the couch on Channel 4 and talk about it? Or on Channel 2? You going to come on Hardline and talk about it? No? Oh, maybe you'll release another press release? Because that's what people of Buffalo want. The people of Buffalo want to be told how you're going to clean up crime with a press release. They want to know how you're going to fix the $70 million deficit with a press release. It's mind-boggling that this is the guy that Erie County Democrats pumped all their money into his primary because Jeremy Zellner wants control of that Senate seat. They put all their resources into Sean Ryan. He barely gets above Scanlon. And again, if 10% more people show up, I don't even think we're talking about Sean Ryan. Sean Ryan gets all the money from the Erie County Democrats. They push him over the line. And then he just disappears. This is the guy you wanted to run for mayor? Jeremy Zellner, you just want another Mark Poloncarz now in City Hall? Someone who has complete disdain for anyone who disagrees with him? He ignores the media most of the time? I mean, Mark Poloncarz, I don't know. Is Sean Ryan on the county tour with Mark Poloncarz? Poloncarz was in Cattaraugus County on Monday talking to the Cattaraugus Democratic Party. He has no time for Erie County. So, Mark Poloncarz, on the other hand, he's trying to get off the Titanic, right? He's run Erie County into the iceberg, and now he's running all over New York State saying, hey, I need a lifeboat here. I gotta get off the Titanic. And he's the one that rammed the county into the iceberg. I'll tell you, this will be, if Sean Ryan wins, and I have to give credit to James Gardner out there. He is campaigning his tail off, and he is going door to door. He is out there. He's running a heck of a campaign. He is making himself visible, and I think that's very important in the city of Buffalo for a Republican to make themselves visible. Hey, there is an alternative. I'm right here. But let me tell you, if Mark Poloncarz and Sean Ryan, if that's the way we're going forward, Mark Poloncarz in the Rath Building, Sean Ryan in City Hall, I don't see the positive for Erie County or for Buffalo. Again, unless Sean Ryan changes and starts talking again, these are two people who think they don't need to explain to you what they're doing. Mark Poloncarz has already said he doesn't work for the taxpayer. He doesn't care about you. And now if Sean Ryan is continuing down this track, going into City Hall, you're going to have two people who feel like they can do everything behind the scenes. Remember, Mark Poloncarz, I can't tell you what's going on with the stadium. The Bills are moving to Austin. I just can't tell you what's going on other than that. Everything's got to be so freaking secretive at the county level. And now we're going to have that at the city level? Two people that want a game plan and not talk to the taxpayer? Talk to the people that are struggling? No, we want to use them as props during the election and then disappear. Sean Ryan, we'll use him as props during the primary and then disappear. We're not even doing an election. Sean Ryan is completely gone. He's not putting anything on social media. He's not talking to the media. The guy is nowhere to be seen. He is missing in action. If that's how he treats his campaign, how do you think he is going to handle things as the mayor? Everything's going to be behind the scenes, just like Poloncarz. We'll tell you when we have an agreement. We'll tell you. I don't have to tell you that. The Bills are moving to Austin. Just remember, the Bills are moving to Austin. I can't tell you anything else. Kevin in Pendleton. Kevin, what do you think of the Sean Ryan strategy?
Well, Joe, with a heavy heart, I have to tell you, here in Reelville, where I live, and you live too, I guess this is news to me about the Bills you're just saying, but I'll tell you something. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when Sean Ryan wins. And that's why they can behave, he, Poloncarz, and the rest of them. And the reason for that, we are hemorrhaging right now, not just conservative or Republican voters, even independents are voting with their feet and leaving New York. And poor Mr. Gardner, if you're listening to his campaign there, any way I can help. But you know what, guys? These folks, they're going to make the focus of their campaigns, as we see downstate, Donald Trump, the National Republican Party, and so on. And they don't care, Joe. Unfortunately, they don't. So it's with a heavy heart I'm telling you this. These same people, I have relatives of mine, they will complain about New York and the cost of living and how New York is so, you know, so uncaring about them and so on. And yet, they will still go and vote by the D.
Yep.
And we have an electoral process. Unfortunately, look, I ain't here to push anything for any particular interest group or whatever, but let's face it, Turning Point, Project Civicus, and other grassroots organizations can show you the data, right? Even on the side that I normally vote on, right, they can totally verify that everyone who is sitting right now in county, in town municipalities, on New York State, they can't really guarantee us, the citizens, that they really, you know, earn their keep or won their races. The electoral system is a mess. I say, man, God help New York State. Sorry, man.
Kevin, I'll tell you this. I think James Gardner's working really hard. He's campaigning really hard. Yeah. I hope that this is like 2016 when Hillary thought that she was the given winner and the shock of the century happened. I know it's a bigger hill to climb in the city of Buffalo for Republicans. Right. But I think if you look at this, he thinks that he is owed the mayor. He thinks he's going to walk into the Rath building. How do you think he is going to preside as mayor if that's his mentality during the campaign?
Yeah.
And that's what people need to ask themselves.
Yeah. You interviewed Garneal, you know, the guy who was a firefighter.
Garnell Whitfield.
Yeah. My heart felt heavy for that guy. Sure. I and Mr., you know, and the good gentleman, we may not share the same political outlook or philosophies or whatever the case may be, right? But he's still a human. I still respect him because I know he ran into maybe burning buildings and pulled someone. He didn't ask, are you Democrat? Are you Republican? Are you whatever? But you know what? My own people, man, his very own people, he wouldn't say it, but I say it for him, right? We will faster run after the Sean Ryans and some white liberal woman than go after and support our own. This is the reality, Tate, man. It's sad. But anyway, hey, thanks again for making me vent here and save me $500. I'm talking to Dr. Phil on a couch, right? Well, thank you for the therapy.
Kevin, appreciate you. Kevin in Pendleton. He's right about Democrats. I hear all the time people complaining about things that are Democratic policies, but they will still go and vote for the Democrat. And by the way, you know, I know everyone's saying, well, Joe, what if we lived in a state that was, you know, in awful shape and Republicans? Well, then you know what? I think most people would say maybe we need to try something new. And if I'm in the city of Buffalo and the same party has been running this city into the ground for 60 years, yeah, maybe I take a chance for 4 years. What's the worst that could happen? Seriously, if you think about the city of Buffalo in 2025, what's the worst that can happen if you maybe vote for a Republican once? See what can happen. You know, I just, that would be my question. If I'm James out there, that's my question right now. It's what's the worst that could happen? Why not try something new? Try something different. But no, the Democrat Party will tell you that they're the ones to fix it because they're the ones that broke it. They think they're going to be able to fix it. Well, let me tell you, I broke my parents' compact Passario when I was a child in the 90s. And guess what? I couldn't fix it. So you know what? When they got a new computer, I was not allowed to take it apart. I was not allowed to. I had to ask permission to do anything with a new computer. I don't know, maybe that's a really bad analogy, but it came to mind because I was thinking about that compact Passario. I'm playing the Oregon Trail back as a kid on the compact Passario Windows 95. 803-0930, star 930. I want to know what you think of the Sean Ryan strategy. I mean, this is the Joe Biden strategy. He is doing the 2020 Joe Biden strategy. He feels like he doesn't need to answer for policies he's responsible for. Policies that he has voted for. Does he not care about the crime? Does he not care about multiple offenders who are back on the street who then commit murders? He doesn't feel responsible for signing on to that legislation? Are constituents going to hold him accountable for what he's done as a senator? Or are they going to let the silence win? He's going to be silent when bail reform's up. He's going to be silent when raise the age law's up. Any of that stuff's talked about, he's silent. Now, I look at that and say either, well, I look at that and go, well, why is he so silent? If he believes it, why won't he come out and defend it? Why won't he do an interview defending policies he has signed on for? Or is the silence admitting that he knows the bail reform in New York State needs to be revoked, that raise the age is ridiculous? But he also doesn't want to go off the party talking points at the same time. 803-0930, star 930 is the number. Back after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It's just a cigarette, and it cannot be that bad.
Honey, don't you love me? And you know it makes me sad.
It's just a cigarette, like you always used to do.
I was different then, I don't need them to be cool.
Hey, welcome back. Joe Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN 803-0930 gets you on the show. Anything we've discussed so far today that you want to put in your two cents, let us know. Also, the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, 803-0930. Want to get to this in Los Angeles. We all remember the fires, the LA fires and the devastation, just awful sights, awful. And the fire aid that was put together for victims, well, we're learning that that money never got to the victims. This from the New York Post this morning. $100 million in L.A. wildfire aid is being doled out to fund pet clinics, DEI projects, and fungus planting, but not a dime directly to victims. A star-studded benefit concert featuring everyone from Billie Eilish to Lady Gaga raised about $100 million for victims of the L.A. wildfires in January. But struggling locals say they have yet to see a dime from it 8 months later. The massive fire aid event, which drew heavy hitter supporters such as Vice President Kamala Harris, Doug Emhoff, has doled out the dough to 197 charities, many of which are focused on a variety of niche, woke, and DEI causes not directly related to helping fire victims. One charity is focused on buying uniforms for kiddie choir singers, and another offers pet health care. Organizers who have been accused of being tone deaf said in their defense they never claimed fire aid funds would go directly to helping victims. What? You called it fire aid. You used the imagery of the fires to get people to donate, thinking they were helping the people who have been displaced by the LA wildfires. For the organizers to say we never claimed the funds were going directly to the helping the victims, let's ask the donors. Where did you think your money was going? Did you think your money was going to pet health care? Did you think your money was going to the California Native Vote Project, which conducts voter registration for Native Americans across the state? How about $500,000 that went to burned forest to grow fungi and bacteria? Another $500,000 went to a group that provides mental health care for musicians. None of this has to do planting the fungi and bacteria in burned forest, I guess. So $500,000. None of this went to the victims. That is, I mean, that's a scandal that no one's talking about. This, I can't believe that this just popped up on the New York Post. And you're not seeing this anywhere else. Another place that this went to was Homegrown for cleaning and sanitation of preschools. Oh, but Joe, you mean preschools where the fire hit? It doesn't say. Doesn't say specifically. Now, there is one, $100,000 went to an organization that puts on podcasts about the wildfires. According to some 10,000 plus Southern California residents who lost their home in the natural disaster, one says it's just a blank show, to be quite honest, and it's disheartening because people are really suffering. Can you believe that? Well, now, don't worry, because representatives Kevin Kiley and Jim Jordan are demanding transparency in the foundation. To say for that answer, if anyone accepts that answer, I have oceanfront property to sell you in Montana. If you believe, well, we never said the money was going to victims. It's called fire aid. Again, the imagery during this was of the houses burning. No one thought they were giving money to the mental health of musicians. No one thought that was on the list. People thought the money was going to victims. That is, again, I don't even care about false advertising. That is just so insincere. And again, it makes people wonder where their money's going when they give to good causes. You talk about losing trust. Think about if you were someone who gave a ton of money to this fire aid thing, just to know that it goes to something that has nothing to do with the fire. Again, it's California. So I don't think anyone's surprised that some of this money went to woke and DEI initiatives, but that's not what the money's for. The money from fire aid, every dime should have gone to helping build back from the fire. But here we go, 8 months later, and the money's going to far left initiatives and not going to the victims. That's just really scummy, if you ask me. That's a really scummy thing to do. It kind of just gives you that sick feeling, even reading about it. And to think that they can just say, well, we didn't say it was going to the victims. On our way now. Hopefully they have to answer. That's all I have. Hopefully they have to answer in front of Congress or in front of Senate. And we just get some answers. Again, I think people who gave money to this deserve some answers, and the victims deserve answers. My gosh, they lost their homes. And you put on a concert saying that was going to go to rebuilding the homes. Apparently, that's not what's happened. And then before we leave you today, I talked about this with David Bellavia. He was talking about earlier about the Phillies Karen, they're calling her. I talked about this a little bit on Monday. Well, of course, USA Today has to make this about something bigger. It can't just be that the woman was out of line trying to get a baseball from a kid. It can't just be that, and we all have an emotional reaction to that. Like David said, if you're at a baseball game, yeah, maybe you jump up, you get the ball, you're excited. Then you see some kid there with their glove out, and you go, here you go, kid. You made that kid's day. This woman who was not there with the kid. She was there with who I'm assuming is her significant other. She's probably a childless cat lady. Runs up to this father, shames him into giving the ball back. Now, I don't think the father ever should have given the ball back. If that was me, the ball's going, you know, I'm taking the ball from my son's glove, putting it in my pocket so this woman never gets it. But in the USA Today, this is the article. The Phillies Karen has sparked national outrage. But what does the hatred say about us? That we have a heart? Maybe that's what it says? That we have a heart and most of us would give the ball to the kid? So it goes on to say, mental health experts say it's no surprise the moment has blown up in the way it has. In addition to being dramatic, the video also serves as a lightning rod for deep-rooted feelings of injustice and inequality permeating society more broadly. quote, a lot of people are feeling disenfranchised and feeling not counted. Psychotherapist Stephanie Sarkis says, to see that kind of injustice happen, that really hit home with a lot of people. Is it? Is that what it is? You know, maybe it doesn't have to be something deeper. Maybe it can just be that we all think what we think about that woman, and again, 99% of us can relate to the father and can put ourselves in that moment and say, yeah, we're letting the kid have the ball. I don't think there's a deeper meaning. Oh, we're all struggling. Are we? All of us? I don't think it opened up some deep-rooted feeling of injustice. She goes on to say, for a lot of people, just seeing someone behave that badly to someone and their kid, who by all rights have the ball, I think that really affects everyone. You're right. That's the statement. We don't go on. You're right. That does affect us because we have a heart. And again, we would not want to be there with our kid and have some crazed lady yelling at us because he or she got the ball. That's it. There's no bigger meaning. We don't need to unpack this. Let's, Tanner, after work, sit here and unpack this. We don't need to unpack it. It's as simple as we put ourselves in that situation and think how crappy that would be if that happened to our kid. Now, maybe it doesn't say anything about us. Maybe it says something about that woman and her maturity and where she is in life. Do we want to unpack that, USA Today? Do we want to know what's going on in Philly's Karen life? That she acted like that? No, we're not going to touch that. We're just going to talk about how it all of us and say that we're all... I just couldn't believe that that's the way they took. That it's this bigger picture. Sometimes it doesn't need to be a bigger picture. It's just really that what we saw. There it is. And you know what? I do agree with the father. Leave the woman alone, because I'm sure anyone in her life has told her how bad that looked. She might have, I mean, I'm sure her significant other is a yes man. But I'm sure other people, colleagues, family members who have, you know, they said, Karen, what were you doing? What were you doing at that game? You couldn't let the kid have the ball? Did you bring the ball back to share with your cats? I mean, come on. So I do agree with the father. Like, you know, leave the woman alone. I'm sure she's hearing it from people in her life. Well, that is almost all for the show today. And again, I want to thank Mitch Nowakowski for joining us. Tom Bowerly has a program coming up next after the news with Tom Puckett. Tom, how are you doing on this hump day?
Just trying to make sense out of the story on Fox News. Charlie Kirk shot at Utah Valley University. This is breaking news reported by Fox.
Oh, wow.
That's all the information that I have right now. Just Charlie Kirk shot at Utah Valley University. So obviously we're going to be following that story as well as we possibly can on News Radio 930 WBEN. That is all the information that I have at this point. So I don't know exactly where we are going to go right after the news at 3 o'clock. Hopefully this is something that is not a serious situation, but still awaiting some additional information on it, as obviously people can understand.
Oh, I just saw a picture, but I can't confirm the picture, so I don't want to say anything more than that. But as you know, Charlie Kirk, he does these campus speeches where he talks to students, on campuses, and they have a back and forth. And I'm sorry, Tom. I just like you, I'm just seeing this for the first time.
Yeah, he is 31 years of age, as you mentioned. He is an influencer, if you will, and a speaker on the right. And this took place at a college campus, apparently Utah Valley University. As of right now, information is very, very slim, but this story just hit within the last 15 or 20 minutes.
That's right, yeah. And the video I'm seeing is students fleeing, obviously, from the event. They're at Utah Valley University. I mean, this all happening within the last 20 minutes. This is, as Tom said, this is very sudden.
Now, bystanders say that Charlie Kirk was shot near his neck during a question and answer session with students. That, however, is an unconfirmed report as far as the fact that he was shot near his neck. A suspect is in custody. This is according to a university alert sent to students. The campus is on lockdown. Word is it was a single shot fired on campus toward Charlie Kirk. The suspect, again, is now in custody. And for people who may just be joining us right now, Joe, Charlie Kirk has been shot at Utah Valley University. Apparently, one round struck him, apparently near the neck, according to some witnesses. We do not have an update on Charlie Kirk's condition or the extent to which he's been injured.
That is right. Keeping an eye on this. I can't believe I didn't look up and see that. But yeah, this just happening according to someone who, again, this is from social media, but someone who was there, he was starting to have a back and forth with the guy who was asking a question about, you know, current events. And then the shot rang, and that's kind of where the comments cut. That's where the video I'm watching kind of cuts. It's just the students running away, but this is back away from the stage. You can't see the event. You can just see the reaction on campus as people are fleeing away from where the tent Charlie Kirk was.
And for those who don't know, Charlie Kirk, who has been shot today, a very close ally with President Trump, founder of Turning Point, and it will be interesting to find out if the suspect is in custody, who is this suspect, and were there any red flags that were flying, like Red Square on May Day, that should have, or possibly could have, prevented this?
Yeah, I mean, you think there? I mean, the thing is, he does these just in the middle of campus, right? So it's not the kind of thing where there's security. I mean, it's him and it's a bunch of students. And I mean, again, we'll have to, as Tom said, hear from what the suspect says. But I'm guessing someone went there with the intention, Tom, right? I mean, you knew the events going on, and you walk on the campus.
Charlie Kirk had posted a video just before being shot, and the video, you can see that he obviously is a gentleman of 6'5", and the video I'm watching now shows Kirk outside wearing a t-shirt and thousands of people surrounding him, and many of them seem to be wearing MAGA red.
Yeah, I mean, it's 90% attended by conservative students, and then you'll have a few liberal students that will get there just to, get a question or to challenge Charlie Kirk, which, I mean, Tom, that's how we get to talk with one another, is to discuss our differences. And that's what was going on when this took place.
Yeah, the videos you mentioned shows students running from the area after the shot is fired. We'll be on this story, and I'm not sure what else, quite frankly, after the news at 3, Joe, on News Radio 930 WBEN. Charlie Kirk has been shot at Utah Valley University. Apparently one round struck him, reportedly in the neck area. The suspect, one suspect, is in custody. We do not know the extent to which Charlie Kirk has been injured in this assassination attempt.
Keep it locked here. Tom Bowerly is up next. By the way, Vice President J.D. Vance said, say a prayer for Charlie Kirk, a genuinely good guy and young father. He just put that out on X a few seconds ago. Stay tuned. News with Tom Puckett and then Tom Bowerly keeping you updated on this on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow, it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.